Most people, as a rule, have never come to the place in the Lord to realize that there's nothing, nothing, nothing but minds. The flesh profiteth nothing. So I know to you there's a whole lot of things outside of mind, because you think of the flesh and all that it thinks of and all it can do and all it can own and all of its great ambitions, you know, to be this or that or be a dictator or a celebrity, whatever it is. But nevertheless, the flesh profiteth nothing. So then when I look at you, I know then that you are what? Somebody tell me what you are. Let's give the Lord. All right, so we know who we are, where we are, and where we've come from, and where we're going. So then, if the flesh profiteth nothing, then we ought not to think too highly of ourselves, but think soberly according to the measure of faith that has been dealt unto us. Or that is according to the measure of Christ on the inside of you. That's what you are and how much you are and all you are. And every time you get a new measure, you increase. So then we are the bastard child image from our first birth. And the Lord thinks how much of us. He said, I despise your image. Let's give him another hand. So then we know what he thinks of us. Now, somebody said, well, God loves everybody. You know he loves even the wicked. But the Bible said, I'll pursue the wicked till they perish from off the face of the earth. So we know God don't love the wicked. He did say it wasn't his will for them to perish if they repent. You know, he'd give them eternal life. So then we realize that there's only one thing that remains, and that's the quickening. Even the Spirit. Born of Adam, died in the Lord Jesus at Calvary. Forever the bastard child image is gone. And now it's not that bastard child living that was born of Adam as an Eve, a mother of all living as an Adam, all die. Now we're born of his bone and we're flesh of his flesh in the foreknowledge of God. And one of these days that'll appear doth not yet appear as to the human sight, but now, beloved, are you the sons of God. You've already passed from death unto life. So then, are we then among the beast and among the human side that pimpers and pampers the flesh or plans the future for the flesh? Or are we they that are dead by the body of the Lord Jesus, buried with him in baptism, and it's no more I that liveth, but it's that new creature in Christ. The old things have passed away, and behold, all things are new. And are we now the new creature in Christ, even bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, even the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, members in particular? Are we not then gods in that he called us gods? Let's give the Lord a hand. So then we know who we are. We know who the world is. So when I say that the Lord has destroyed Satan, you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. And I'm saying that you cannot sin against God. There's no way. In that he that is born of God cannot sin. The seed of God, even Christ, the hope of glory, remaineth in him. And he cannot sin because he's born of God. Messiah came 483 years after the prophecy of Daniel made an end of sin. So now you're free from sin. And he said, you keep yourself and the evil one touch you not. So he never touches you during your whole lifetime. And the only problem you have is lying vanities as to stumbling around in the shadows of night. For Satan is destroyed and he's gone. And to you there is no more Satan. There's no more death. To you there's no more poverty. There's no more pain. There's no more sickness. I mean, all of this that you're confronted with and that you tolerate is simply because of your unbelief in what he has told you. And of walking in the shadows when you should stay right in the light. See, because as to your inner man that's sealed in God, he can never get into the shadows. We're the children of light. And darkness and light hath no fellowship, which means that darkness can never get near light, because light causes darkness to dissipate. Which means the evil mind of Lucifer, that is to say, within your body there dwelleth no good thing. Paul said, who shall deliver me from the body of this death, O wretched man that I am? Speaking of this body, I thank God that what the law could not do in that was weak through my flesh, or that is I couldn't perform it, Jesus dying at Calvary took away the body. That's the end of the sinful flesh. So now you're the perfect man. and you're without spot, without blemish. And what you're trying to do is the inner man, Paul said, though the outer man perisheth, the inner man is renewed day by day. What you're trying to do is reveal to the outer man from glory to glory, from thought to thought, from inspiration to inspiration, reveal to him that because of what Jesus did, he should never be under condemnation. That now you're making manifest in the mortal genes the life of Jesus Christ. So this light that penetrated Stephen's face, this light that penetrated Moses' face, this light, the wisdom that maketh the man's face to shine, even the wisdom which is the Word, which is God, which is the eternal Spirit, made flesh within the form of Jesus, you being members of that body by the righteousness of the Lord Jesus, now, according to your measure, whatever you ordain to, or whatever you receive, or whatever you yield to, that life is now to be made manifest in your mortal genes, as the revelation of Jesus Christ reveals to you that you are God. The God body, members in particular, just as it revealed it to Jesus Christ, because the revelation of Jesus Christ was the revelation or the revealing of God within Jesus Christ to let him know that he was God. And you being members of the God body that makes you gods and that you cannot die, you're eternal, pass from death unto life. There is now therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And you cannot walk after the flesh because you're not in the flesh. For he said, you're not in the flesh, for I've chosen you out of the flesh, and I've hid you with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received. In that at death the Spirit goeth back to God who gave it. Your body is now buried in the sight of God. It's forever gone, that sinful image. And in the mind of God, you're now the bone and body of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it will appear later as to what you look like, as to what human beings can see. But right now he's hid it from the eyes of the wise and prudent by letting you wear the veil of darkness. God hiding himself in darkness, that is, the great spiritual light within the veil of your intellectual reasoning, like the nucleus as to the power of the nucleus as to the atomic forces. It's hid within the little shell, and it has to be split. Your thoughts, that's a typical thing of your thoughts. You have to take this light, this ray of light, like the laser, and split that thought as to that thing, as the veil rent in twain, and the body goes one way and the Spirit goes another way. Even at Calvary, Jesus having made in himself both Lord and Christ or twain, the veil was rent in twain or in two, and the body went into the grave for your sake, to show that in the sight of God, your sinful image of the bastard image was forever dead. The old intellectual membership of the body of the bastard child. And your spiritual angelic one, as to the renewing of the inner man, went into heaven, and he is dwelling with God forever. Forever. And will not return to pick up the body. Even as the dead, the spirits having departed from those that are buried in the grave, coming back at the last trump, at the Thessalonian chains, to pick up the body out of the grave, and then our spirits returning back into our bodies has to show bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, knowing that when he appears we shall be like him. And every man that hath this hope within him purifies himself, even as he is pure. He'll be like him, for we shall see him as he is, because we are like him. We are him, bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. And it's not us living as the natural, which is dead, buried, and gone, but him. I once was dead, Jesus said. They that live in trespasses and sin, they that live in pleasure, are dead while they live, because they are in that mind of the world. And the world, which is a mind, is on the inside of them. But with us, though God has set the world in their heart, the Bible teaches the kingdom of God is within us. So our spirit has been translated into the marvelous kingdom of God, which is the Spirit of Christ, and our spirit with Christ, the Spirit, is now one. And it is revealing itself, that is Christ, through our spirit to our body, and bring life eternal as to the celestial body, from the terrestrial to the celestial, from this corruptible to the incorruptible. And God is changing, as we say, changing us, as the life from glory to glory, thought to thought, inspiration to inspiration is breaking forth from within us into these mortal bodies. So you cannot sin against God because you cannot sin. Grieve not the Holy Spirit where thou art sealed. That is by the Spirit of Christ, your inner man being sealed. I say again, is the safeguard in the garment to keep it sin from penetrating. Grieve not the Holy Spirit where thou art sealed unto the day of redemption. And when we say that, we're speaking of the redemption of the body, even the purchased possession. For it's already been redeemed. We're not waiting for the redemption as to the redemption coming. We're waiting to whip, to become one that understands that we are not to sleep, that all that's taken care of, it's over. As to death of the inner man, that is to say the second death, the only death of the man, the spirit going into the lake of fire, separating from God's spirit of life, that's over and gone, finished. We can never do that. As to having passed from death into life, that's the answer. But as to sleep, which people in the world calls death, sleep, Paul said, I show you a mystery. We're not going to do that either. We're going to come on until we whip the redemption of our body, realize that it's all paid for. Jesus said it's finished. Then we won't go to sleep. When he went in to raise the little girl from the dead, they mocked him and he said, make way. Said the maiden's not dead. She sleepeth. When he went to Lazarus, he's not dead. He sleepeth. I go to awake him. So there's a difference between being dead and sleeping. You don't awake the dead. You don't raise the dead when it comes to the dead. But them that sleep, that's referred to as being dead, when they didn't understand, Jesus said plainly, Lazarus is dead. That's according to your understanding. You're not spiritual. Paul said, I'd like to speak unto you as unto spiritual, but seeing that you're babes in Christ, I cannot. You just have to go on with your regular doctrine of life, you know, and desire the sincere milk of the word that you might grow thereby. But he said, great is the mystery of godliness, and I am a steward of those mysteries. Speaking of the revelation of Jesus Christ. I know people say they have the revelation of Jesus Christ because they've come to baptism in Jesus' name, and they do a few other things, you know, that it's been revealed to them or that somebody has taught them. But in all reality, they've never come to the revelation. They don't understand the mysteries. Paul said, now is made known to the church after the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ, the manifold wisdom of God, even to heavenly places. You now, within your human bodies, to the inner man, have this heavenly treasure, even this knowledge that spoke the world into existence. You now have it in your earthen vessels. Thus having it, say what you will and don't doubt in your heart, it'll come to pass. Ask what you will in my name, don't doubt, it'll come to pass. When you pray, believe that you receive a thing, don't doubt, you shall have it. Jesus would always say, don't doubt. Come and raise my dead. I'm in my sick daughter. Somebody says, don't bother the master. She's dead. Jesus said, don't doubt. Makes no difference. Don't doubt. Then when he got there, he said, the maiden's sleeping. I'll awake her. So you can't come into condemnation, for there's no one that can lay anything to the charge of God's elect, and you're God's elect according to foreknowledge. Peter said, elected unto grace by what God foreknew of you. And in that he predestinated you, or that is, he predecided and determined your destination as to the ultimatum of your life and to the grand finale. So he wrote your names down in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. And he says Paul, salute my women workers, or my workers whose names are written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. That is to say, having passed from death unto life, you're now in the Lamb's Book of Life. Because if you can't die, there's but one book of life, and that's eternal living. And when you can't die, then your names are written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Let's give the Lord a hand. All right. Then the question arises, what is the Lamb's Book of Life? It's Jesus himself. God the Word. God the Word, you know, a word is a book. And that word was made flesh. And that book was opened at Calvary when the veil was rent. And we could preach a great sermon on that, of opening and closing the book. And through his blood, your names are now written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. And it's written on the pages as to that book that will be open when the Bible said the Book of Life was open at Calvary. It was open. So the revelation of John, the revelation of Jesus Christ in the end will show it open as to it. Ren and twain. No one was able to open the book but him, or take the book out of the hands of him that sit upon the throne but the Lamb. And as we said, when the law was finished as to that part of the book, it was folded up, sealed with the seven spirits of God as to the seven seals on the backside, saying at Calvary, it is finished. And it was shown in the church ages as the seals were loosed one at a time as to the church ages. And that by what the Lord referred to as the seven angels, it was likened unto the stars in his hands. The seven candlesticks, it was likened unto the churches in which he was in the midst, which was seven of those churches taken from the nine that Paul established at the beginning, saying, it is not me, but Jesus in the midst of these church ages, Paul said. And at the end, it is Paul again, and yet not Paul. The body of the Lord Jesus Christ, or him. The voice of many waters, that is to say, waters likened unto people, are many people praising him, and everything in heaven and everything in the earth and everything under the earth praising God. And in the end, there's the door open. Peter opened it at Calvary when he said, thou art the Christ, look beyond the veil that had been rent in twain. He said, Peter, it's spiritual revelation. My heavenly Father, the Spirit has made this known unto you, not your intellectual reasoning from flesh and blood as to an intellectual indoctrination. At the end of the church ages, the door is seen open and the voice says to John, who's typical of the church, at the end of the church ages, the fourth chapter of the book of Revelation, and the voice had come up, hither, John. And John went up and saw what had taken place in the revelation. And just a few short years after Calvary, on the little rocky island of Patmos, he wrote about the rent veil. The rent veil was the revelation of Jesus Christ, or the Christ within been revealed to the Word at the rent veil. So your sins are gone because he punished his body, delivered for your offenses, smitten, esteemed, smitten of God, and then raised again for your justification, that you might forever be holy and godly and pure, that he might say peace on earth and goodwill toward man forever and eternally without alteration or change, and that he changes not, his word does not return to him void. It accomplishes that he pleases, prospers in that whereunto that he hath sent it. So then you can rest with a sure thing in that God made this confirmation to you by the blood of his own Son to bring a new testament that you could live forever, ordained in the hands of angels and with a strong assurance we can rest in God, because the Bible said that it is impossible for God to lie. And he swore by himself, because he could swear no greater, saying, Abraham, I shall bless thee, and in thy seed shall all nations be blessed. So it can never be altered. Not even God can alter it. Not even God can change it. He wanted you to have such a positive confirmation that he fixed it to where not even God can change it. Because it's impossible for God to lie, so God said, I swear unto you. So that means it's eternal and forever. Let me say this, and we'll change the order of the service a little bit here. Sometimes the Lord, he likes to say things to you like Jesus when he pushed out from the shore on the little boat, or just sit down on the rock and talk to the people. He's tired and weary. But he said gracious things because the Spirit spoke wonderful assurance of life that built faith so strong and so mighty in the saints of God. See, you can never be translated and make it into the kingdom of God on the supplemented doctrine that people are preaching today, because you don't know that you're the body of the Lord Jesus. You don't know that you're sons of God. You don't know that you have eternal life. You don't know that you can't sin. You don't know that you will never come into condemnation, because they're not teaching you that. But they're teaching you something in a prorated way as to some of it, doctrines of devils. It's ideology through intellectual reasoning, scholars from college. And some others are sincere, and they're teaching the best they know how to teach. And they're preaching conversion in the only way they know how, and that's through repentance. As the Bible said, the gifts of God are not given through repentance. I say again, if they were given through repentance, then we just need to preach repentance all over the world. The Bible said when Esau came, he repented and he sought for the birthright, but it was gone. He couldn't get it. It had already been given. And that to whom foreknowledge said it belonged even before the birth. When the children wrestle in the womb, one against another, and it was said the elder shall serve the younger. And as Paul said in his preachings in the New Testament, so that election, that this might stand by election as an eternal life and not through repentance, it was said, Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated, before the children were ever born into the world, having done no good or evil. Judas, having been with the righteous and even under the leadership of the Lord Jesus, was a devil from the beginning. The Bible said before he was ever born into the world, let another his bishopric take. And the Bible said he went to his place. Though he repented, threw down the silver, went back, there was no place of repentance found for him. And the Bible said he saw repentance with bitter tears, crying, weeping, but there was no place of repentance found. So, the gifts of God as to eternal life, your new birth, the callings of God as to the ministry, the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. They're given to you by foreknowledge. The Bible said, them that he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. And them that he predestinated, he also called. And them that he called, he also justified. And them that he justified, he also sanctified. And them that he sanctified, the Bible said he glorified them. And the Bible said, what can we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? As to our repentance, we find ourselves teaching to repent and find God's favor when it's so contrary to God. Whereas the Bible said, and God so loved us while we were yet in our sins that he gave the Lord Jesus to die for us, and that we've not sought him, but he has sought us. And Jesus said, I've come to seek and to save that which is lost. And while we were yet in our sins and the foreknowledge of God, the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world, God slew him, saved every one of us. For the Bible says, we're elect according to what he foreknew of us. Saved every one of us. For the Bible says, this was given to us in Christ before the world ever was. Names have been written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, all made manifest at Calvary, given to us before the world ever was, and then made manifest as light when Calvary came, as to the rent veil or the opening of the curtains on the great drama of God. Realizing this, then we can never come into condemnation, because nobody can lay anything to our charge. Nothing is powerful enough to separate us from the Lord Jesus, not even Satan. The Bible said poverty, sickness, no matter what, nothing can separate you from that great love of God. It was so great that he gave the dearest thing to his heart for you. Nothing can get past that. If he hath given us Christ Jesus, the Bible said, shall he not with Christ freely give us all things? If he give us the best from the beginning, would he withhold anything less from us? So I said that to make a point. And that is to say, you cannot be under condemnation because you're not in the flesh. Your flesh is dead to God. He looks over the great chasm of your lifetime in that valley of sin, the shadow of those spirits between you and him. And he prepares a table by the grace of God through the offering of your near kinsman, Jesus Christ. And he looks over and he sees you at Thessalonian change as the finished product in the Lord Jesus. So he sees you already complete in him, the Bible said. Already seeing you as heir and joint heirs to the Lord Jesus Christ. His body members in particular, God's, can never die. Generations pass away, but God's live on. So then there's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, because there is no condemnation that can come to them who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So then you're born of the Spirit. You're no more flesh. You're no more that living soul as to the first man, Adam. You pass from death unto life, and your soul can never die now. You are now a quickening spirit. And you're sealed from death forever. So no one can lay anything to your charge, and you cannot sin against God. So when you run into these shadows, problems of your intellectual vanity, Vanity of vanities, all is vanity, the preacher said. When you run into these things, the Bible said, happy is he that doth not condemn himself over that which he alloweth. Not that he goes out and practice sin, nor is he free to do it. He doesn't have any conscience of sin or desire for sin, for where these things are to the inner man. He's not even conscious of that world anymore. He's holy, godly, pure. He meditates in the thoughts of God day and night. He casts down every imagination, every thought, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ, to never think his own thoughts of the old mind, but he thinks the thoughts of the mind of Christ, to let this mind be in you that's also in Christ Jesus, which has the sanctifying faith that brings salvation as the purification of your spirit and heart. So then, he'll be happy if when you stumble, if you don't condemn yourself. Put your faith in his righteousness. Say, Heavenly Father, I'm sorry that I offended you. I'm sorry I've done anything to displease you. I would not do that. Not for all the gold and silver in the world. And Heavenly Father, seeing that I stumbled and staggered when I tried to do my best, I know that you're still with me. You love me. Your word is true. I feel your heavenly Holy Spirit breaking the anointing, breaking the evil, taking away the doubt, bringing the anointing, and moving the shades of night. And I feel that strength that makes me feel like I could run through a troop and leap over a wall. For I'm ever perfect in your sight. For I'm your beloved Son, Father. Help me. If you're chasing me, Heavenly Father, because I stumble, then be merciful to me. Every son that he hath, he scourgeth him first. He loves him. Jesus being a son, though he was a son, yet learned the obedience with the things he suffered, even to death on the cross. Therefore, being made perfect, growing in the grace that was given us to a man, he became perfect. Not that he wasn't perfect, he was the perfect one. But as to the perfect one on the inside, being made like unto the sin in the image on the outside for you and I, then he grew in stature and in wisdom as this great thing was revealed from that inter-perfect full God, and that he was the full measure, as it was revealed a little at a time to the outer man, that he might grow into it, growing up from a child, right on up, that he might be our example, that it might be the revelation God giving unto him, that is Jesus Christ, the revelation of Jesus Christ, heart to his Son, or that is to say, it was revealed to him by the inter-forces that he was God Almighty, not only God, but the fullness of God. And it should be working in you, being revealed to you that you are God. He said, you're gods. But you die like men from the lack of knowing that. So we're growing into the fullness of it to take away this death as the body of man, to have the eternal body of God, members in particular of the God body, the celestial body. So then, it's being revealed to us from the inner man a little at a time that this body may change into God as to our measure of whatever measure. He resurrected from the dead, dealt a measure of faith unto every man, gone to the full measure, the full stature, gone to the full reward. He that overcometh shall sit down in the throne with me, even as I overcome and sit down in the throne with my Father. And that is to say, heaven is his throne. It's a big place. Earth is his footstool. For heaven is the Spirit. That's why the kingdom of heaven is within us, because the fullness of God is in Christ. Christ is the Spirit, and that Spirit is the kingdom of God. It's the treasure chest of God that lives on the inside of you. So whatever measure you submit to or surrender to, or so whatever measure of the body you want to be, it's a sovereignty. Let whosoever will and come and partake freely of the waters of life. So there's no need to condemn yourself. Tear your faith down and let the devil in on you. Take your shield of faith. Keep it with you. When you get wounded in battle, patch the wound up and keep a sharp sword and keep on fighting. If you have to go back, pull off the front line. Go back, rest a little, get your strength. Patch yourself up, keep praying. God will fix that wound and off you'll go again. Fight for God. So we are the heavenly people. Having been raptured, I say again, there's no such word as raptured. That word has tripped the church world. No such word is raptured. They're sitting around waiting for something that man has inserted in the Word of God is to an intellectual reasoning. And even though rapture means caught up, and we will be caught up, yet there's no biblical terms for that, because that is besetting to mankind when he thinks that he's born again and all he has to do is sit around and wait for a rapture. The Bible said we're to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus to the full measure, the full stature. We're growing from knowledge to knowledge. And the Bible said from glory to glory, as his glory is revealed to us inwardly, to keep that once and for all at one time, that great light that will come after the millennium. If it come upon us at one time, we'd dissipate and we'd be no more. But a little at a time, that great light is being revealed to you to destroy him, even Lucifer, the intellectual one, the death within the body, to destroy him that sits in the temple of God, even the body, showing himself that he is God through his intellectual control of weather and religion and everything else. So God, with the brightness of his coming, that is to say, God suddenly appearing within his saints, that is in the temple, in the body, to be glorified within his saints, that the world may come and kneel before you and know that I've loved you. Paul said they glorified God within me. See, so he's revealing himself a little bit, coming in the clouds of heaven. And as it is with you, the Bible speaks of you as being the everlasting gates. Saying, lift up your heads, you everlasting gates, because you're the gates to that wonderful glory world that's within you as to the Spirit. I will come in if you'll open the gates. I stand at the door and knock. If you'll open, I'll come in and sup with you. Horace has said to the world, the gates of hell, for he said the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, in that the world is on the inside of them and their spirit is already in the darkness of that evil. And every time they open their mouth, just as a man smoking a cigarette, out comes the billows. And out of their intermost being, whereas out of ours comes rivers of living water, out of theirs come the evil contrariness of demons and devils, as presented themselves in thoughts and words and expressions. And there are open sepulchres that men that do not see them fall into, in that they're unawares. They're very religious, whited sepulchres, which means very religious. We are the temples of God. God is appearing within the great clouds of glory, which clouds you are, and that the Bible said, seeing that you are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, Christ suddenly appearing within you in his temple. The world may see the beauty and radiance of the great God of heaven as he illuminates your body as he did Jesus on the mountain. As I said the other night, people are so afraid they're going to take God's glory. They're always doing that. To God be the glory. I can go to some country and they'll have this little saying, to God be the glory. To God be the glory. And folks, it does say that. That's the Bible. To God be the glory. But then who is God outside of you? Let's give the Lord. All right. Now somebody said, well, prove that to me by the Bible. Well, I don't have to prove it to some of you. And the Bible said, in my glory I will not give to another. But the Bible said, we're not another. We're bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. And Jesus said, Father, glorify these with the same glory I had with thee before the world ever was. Let's give the Lord a hand. The Bible said, Moses and Elijah appeared in glory, the same glory with the Lord Jesus. People who go around a lot of times like that, that's trying to put a minister down, they're either little babes and don't understand, or they're devils. You know, because they want to cut the shepherd down to smite the shepherd and scatter the sheep. And they're so hard after the glory that it's a devil within their body trying their best to lift themselves up to put the other minister down that they might get the glory. Let's give him another. All right, we love the truth. The Bible said you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. If we know the truth of these things that we're saying, and that he that God sendeth will speak God's word, as to great is the mystery, God opening our understanding to make our hearts burn within us as when he walked with them and opened the word to them as on the way to Emmaus. So then, Christ within you, that hope of glory, don't condemn yourself. We belong to God. We are one with the Lord. Sing a new song unto the Lord, for the Bible said he hath done marvelous things. Make melody in your heart. Sing to him in the night. Praise his name. Praise the Lord, all you people. Praise his name, for his name is greatly to be praised. You sing that song in the mountain of His holiness. See, so we know who we are now. We know what we are. We are not waiting for a rapture. We've already been raptured. For the Bible said God hath already translated us into the marvelous kingdom of our God. Now there's the proper word, not rapture, intellectual terms, and not millennium as intellectual terms. It is 1,000 years. And of course, in the miracle, especially with Catholicism, it's called millennium. And of course, caught away is to being called rapture. See, but being translated into the marvelous kingdom of God, it makes us to understand that what Peter meant when he said, "Ye are the people upon whom the ends of the world have come." For Calvary was the ends of the world. See, the ends of the world. He spoke of the ends of the world as to the flood. Then he said, now, it's the ends of the world with you. Paul had talked to him about the revelation. It had been revealed to him that the Christ was there when the Jews were looking at the flesh and missed His coming, the day of their visitation. We didn't miss it because we know that He's a spirit. But the world still has missed it because, like the Jews, they're still looking for His coming. And I tell you again that when Aaron, the high priest, as to typical of the Holy Ghost, when he went in to do away with their sins as to the blood atonement, if he turned quickly, everything was all right. If he come back quickly. But if he didn't return quickly, it meant the wrath of God. And I tell you that Christ Jesus went up and within 10 days come back into the heart of mankind, into His temple. Everything's all right, folks. Everything's going to be all right. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. But He has never come back to the world. He's never returned. That's looking bad. That means when He comes, He's going to come in judgment and He's going to slay till the blood runs to the horse's bridle because He's angry with the wicked every day. So then we see that we've already been translated. The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached, the name of Jesus as the door of the entrance, baptized into His death through His name for the remission of sins. And then after that, as the gospel beginning in Jerusalem through the name, then to the uttermost parts of the earth, after that, we're resurrected with Him. Having been planted in His likeness, we're also resurrected in the newness of life. And the Holy Ghost, which is the power of God, even the Spirit of Christ, comes into our heart and into our temple. Though we're under tutors and we don't take up our sonship as to rule with the rod of iron that we're going to rule with, which is the mind of Christ. Yet we're coming to the bar mitzvah, even the change, and we're going to recognize after a while, comprehend, and be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye from this mortality to immortality at the sounding of the last trump, which is getting close. The mark of the beast is getting close. So then we know that we've been raptured. That is, we've been changed. Our body has been planted in the watery grave. It's dead. It's gone. It has not been resurrected yet. But the inner man was raptured at death, the rending of the veil, the separation of the spirit from the body, the Lord from the Christ. Your spirit went back to God who gave it. And it's hid with Christ in God whom the heavens have received until the restoring of all things. That is to say, bringing the millennium and redeeming everything that's been lost. Bringing forth the species that's been lost as through the years. So then, if I have healing, I've already been healed. The Bible said, by His stripes I was healed. For He hath given me all things that pertain unto life through Christ Jesus. And all I have to do is believe. Somebody says, that is, believe that He's going to give them to me. No. Thank God that He gave them to me. And believe in what He said, that they already belong to me. And rejoice in that and start enjoying them. For the Bible said, when you desire something, you pray, believe that you receive it and ye shall have it. And that is to say, decree a thing in your heart, it's already yours. All these things are already yours, already given to you through Calvary. And the Bible said all these sicknesses come upon you because you serve not the Lord God with joyfulness of heart. All that is, you don't know all these joyful things, so you can't be joyful in that you're healthy, whole, rich, and powerful, and eternally alive, so you don't go around rejoicing, believing that as to a conviction and singing praises unto God. So these things hang around as shades of evening, shadows of night, of thoughts as to threat. And you keep wrestling as to try to get God to give you something that you already have by virtue of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you can't enjoy it. Like wars, the Bible said, from whence cometh wars? Is it not from the lust that warreth in your members? Doesn't it start with 2 or 3 men at a table and wind up in bloodshed throughout the world? And their greed for power, doesn't it come from that? And the Bible said it's because this lust is in your members. You desire and you cannot have because you won't live right. The middle wall of partition is between you and God. Even that iniquity that Jesus took away by his body. And that body's dead. And that body of death is gone. But you've never comprehended it. You've never heard it. You've never took time for the minister to teach you. Little popcorn sermons running in and out once or twice a week, you know. Not like the early church all night long, staying with it day after day after day to know. And what can we say? Already having given us this. So then we suffer loss. God cannot look upon iniquity. His eyes are too pure, and thine iniquities have separated between thee and thy God and kept thee back from good things. My arms are not short that I cannot reach thee. My ears not dull that I cannot hear thee. Thine iniquities have separated thee. So what must I do? Try to do the things that please him always, as Enoch pleased God by faith, 300 years, translated, taken away. Paul speaks of this. Jesus, I do always the things that please the Father. Before Enoch's translation, he had this testimony. I please God. So what must I do? Do the things that please God, that I might assure my heart to confidence, that it might trust and believe in what God has said. And in that faith, my heart is purified, my iniquity through the veil of darkness and intellectual doubt, fear, frustration, anxiety. It is then gone because I see it eradicated at Calvary by the body of the Lord Jesus. And I see myself then in the light. If I walk in the light as he is in the light, I'll have that fellowship with my brethren, one with another. The blood of Jesus has cleansed me from all sin because of my faith. So with the heart man believeth himself unto righteousness. And God imputeth faith for righteousness without works. Blessed is the man whose sins are taken away and whose iniquities are covered as to the blood. Blessed is the man unto whom God will not impute sin, who cannot sin because he's born of God, but God imputeth faith for righteousness by sanctifying us and purifying our hearts, making us perfect forever. So then if I have healing, I have to claim the healing that I already have. It's right there. The money's in the bank. I need to write a check on it and sign his name to it. Because there's no more I that live, but it's him. And I'm identified now as the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. So when you look upon me, you don't see me anymore. The Bible said, them that can see beyond the veil, them that have eyes to see what the Lord is doing, always the things the Father does, them that have ears to hear beyond this flesh is to hear what the Spirit is saying unto the churches. That is to say, when you look at me, if you know me after the flesh, then are you still in the veil? And you are a child of corruption. For the Bible said we're not to know each other after the flesh. And to know the world after the Spirit is to the fleshly things. Satan slaveth the things of the flesh, as to the devil that they are. For if it's the devil within him, Jesus said, get behind me, Satan, when he spoke to Peter. Said, Judas, thou art a devil from the beginning. Having chosen 12, one was a devil. And Satan did not enter into him until the supper was finished. When he had finished his course, then the blood, as to the protection, was lifted, just like it'll be lifted out of the world when the blood comes off the seat of atonement. The devil will enter into them, just like he entered into Judas. They'll go out into that intellectual darkness. There'll be no more understanding given to them. Blessed are thine eyes, for they see, and thine eyes, for they hear. And thine eyes are enlightened, the Bible said, that you might comprehend the heights, the depth, width, and length, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. But the wicked shall not understand, for the light of understanding shall not be given to them. Their intellectual darkness, their children, with the love of the world in them, and the Bible teaches the gullible desire of the world, or the things of the world in you, the love of the Father isn't there. It means that as to what we see and understand, we know when good cometh. We know when he's nigh, even at the door, as to just open the door and walk in, as to our heart. Stand at the harsh door and knock open. I'll come in. Gates of heaven. Whereas the gates of hell shall not prevail against them. These gates never closed by day. And there is no night in that city. In that you're the lively stones that makes up a holy priesthood. Even habitation for God who inhabits the praise of his people. In that God is the Spirit and Jesus Christ the chief cornerstone of that city. Of lively stones built upon the foundations of the apostolic teachers. Other foundations can no man lay except these that Jesus picked out, the 12, laid them and warned not to build hay and stubble on them. And from that early church until today, great masons of the Spirit have laid stone upon stone as lively stones to that great pyramid city, coming to that great wonderfulness of the capstone, the revelation of Jesus Christ, the all-seeing eye, has Christ coming to the body just before his, that is the church body, just before the natural body of Jesus is made manifest. And remember, he'll come as a spiritual being. First man Adam, a living soul. The last man Adam, a quickening spirit. You're born of the first man Adam, a soul to die. You're born of the second man Adam, a quickening spirit to live. So then, many things that we could say there and bring about a few closing thoughts here. In that you're the lively stones and you're bonded together by the charity of God, the mortar of charity, not daubed with untempered man-made mortar of ideology, theology, that you might fall apart, separate with disputings, frivolousness. And as John said, I saw the cities of the nation crumble to the ground. There's a new earth coming in, not as the Jews, it will come in as the restored earth, having been that as to the garden, and as a beautiful thing coming back to the millennium as a garden. I say millennium, that's what you understand. And the Jews will be a clean people in their natural body and keep the commandments and ordinances of the Lord to show the millennium as the beautiful garden of which it was before briars and thorns came. That is to say, man's body is the physical dimension of it, falling into sickness and all the demon things as to the thoughts, killing, reveling, all of these things. We're not that way at all, but we are the new body. Even the body of the Lord Jesus Christ will have access to the restored earth. But we are the mighty new body of the Almighty God, even the new earth. And upon this earth comes that beautiful capstone city of the royal stones and the streets of gold and the gates of pearl, of which we could say much. Just a few scattered remarks is all that we've been able to bring out. Great is the mystery of godliness, and I'm a steward of the mysteries. So this means that to be healed, I must believe it. It's already done. Then when I believe it, calling those things that are not as though they are, then I become healed. And I enjoy my healing. To have money, if I have no money, then if I have money in the bank that my father has left me, I have to go to the bank, write the check, then I enjoy my money. I can then ride in the limousine, put on a new suit or whatever. So if I'm heirs and joint heirs through Jesus Christ, then I have to believe for it. Sign his name to it. Start enjoying it. And then when I call that is not as though that it is, it becomes that it is because it always was. Hope you understand my term of speech. Same way with being in heaven. Am I then in heaven? Jesus said, Nicodemus, the son of man who was in heaven, who is in heaven. I came from heaven, I go back to heaven. I'm in heaven. If I am truthfully bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, then where am I? I'm in heaven. Someone would say, well, that can't be. But the Bible said God hath translated me into the marvelous kingdom of heaven, which heaven is within me, and into the kingdom of God, which is one of the same. It's given in the scripture, both ways. Just like you're in the world, your spirit is in the world. And that's because the world is within you. For the Bible said God has set the world within you. But he drove the world out, and he's taken the world even out of your body, thought by thought, to bring in the mind of Christ. For there's nothing but a mind. The flesh profiteth nothing. It's a mind. That's all there is. What am I then saying? For the Bible says, God has chosen me out of the world, out of the flesh, hid me with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received. Where is Christ? In God. Where is God? In the heavens. Even as I've overcome and sat down in the throne of my Father, then where am I? God within Christ, Christ within me, all of us one. So then where am I? Wherever I am, there shall my disciple be also. Where am I? He said, rejoice forevermore, ye that dwell in heaven. Let's give the Lord a hand. So it must be revealed to me who I am and where I am. And that takes care of all of the translation. When this comes to pass, as to this great mystery revealed as to them that to whom it is given, and that you cannot receive anything save it be given you of God, then it'll go out to them as an intellectual indoctrination into the intellect of the listener throughout the world. And then from that it will be worked down into the heart, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and confession unto salvation is made with the lips. So then, when we come to the understanding it's revealed to us, then we've comprehended the redemption of the body. Then we have come to understand that from glory to glory, we've been changed into this marvelous image, and that His glory is going to penetrate and break forth within us. When the last one comes into this indoctrination and has brought it to the proper place, so as Enoch, it becomes faith, and Enoch was translated by faith that he should not see death, or that is, he didn't go to sleep. We've already been translated that we should not see death. We pass from death unto life because death is your spirit, one with, separated from that oneness of God, the lake of fire. And we are overcoming sleep by comprehending the redemption. The generations are going on and on in compiling this. And as the medical world's becoming more perfect, and all of the worlds of electronic and everything's becoming more perfect, compiling as to what they've got from other generations as through books and whatever, they've got a perfect product, and they're bringing forth a perfect body of their product. Perfect teeth, restore it, build them, restore their arms, their legs, everything becoming perfect because it's the perfect age. Almost time for the Antichrist, which is a type of the Lord Jesus or of God, to take over His perfect world, in that He'll be the perfect one, because He'll be the fullness of the devil in its fullness, that is, being made to a perfection in the Satan. All right. Saying this in closing right here to bring out one or two little things of a present day truth that I think you'd like to hear. So then I come to the knowledge to know where I'm at. As it's revealed, then I believe it. So what have I done? From Egypt as to garlic and onions, I've come out of a world of vanity. I've been translated into a great world of spirit. And I've been translated into a world of light, and all of the shadows of the negative side of life is eliminated. I've come out of the dark room, and now I'm a positive. I'm a child of light. No more darkness. So then I fight to keep every thought of darkness out of me and bring every thought into the transformating of my mind, translated instantaneously by faith into the Spirit of Christ as to the kingdom of God in my inner spirit, transformated as to a graduality from glory to glory in my mind, to be therefore transformed by the renewing of your minds, Paul said. Like translating a book from one word to another word, and then, or one language to another language, and then the next thing is the instantaneous transfiguration of my body at the last trump. So then we find ourselves in heaven, and that great, wonderful translation took place, and the world didn't see it. And he hid it from the eyes of the wise and of the prudent, and they didn't see when the good came. And now all of a sudden, now that everybody's safe and they're in God, all of a sudden, something dramatically takes place. And he breaks forth from the heavens and he sounds that trump, the last trump, to the changing of the body in the moment, in the twinkle of an eye. I say to you, we're sitting here. And I say to you, them that are waiting out there for the rapture don't understand. Because they're patiently waiting for the rapture and they think everything's going to take place, going to sweep away. See, but I say to you, I say, folks, the rapture's going to take place. I'm too late. I say it took place. He was left. Oh, somebody says, you must be eccentric, Brother Pike. No. No, I say to you, the rapture's going to take place. Too late. It took place. He was left. How could that be? Because he said, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, twinkle your eye one time, and you'll see why you got left. You didn't have time to get ready. Let's give the Lord a hand. So you see how absurd that is about people sitting around waiting for the rapture. This ultimatum is to the change on the inside. It's shown by type. When you go into grammar school, you go into high school, you go into college, you get your diplomacy, you go then about your father's business, you take it over and enjoy the wealth of your life. So folks, we're moving on toward that. And let me say this in closing. I'm just telling my wife today, these things go on tape so that sometimes, you know, they give them a title and sometimes people want to get them and play them back and go through those things because they can enlarge upon these things into many thousands of beautiful mysteries. The sounding of the last trump, the mystery of God to be finished. Don't forget this one thing just before I bring in this present day thought. 483 years, Messiah made an end of sin. That was the end of the world, Peter said, and heaven set in. It's now the church ages in heaven and God's people. And there's 7 years it was separated from that 483, which is called the tribulation period. The time of Jacob's trouble. The last 7 years or the last week. A day as to a year. If you want to get your prophetical utterance, go down there and check. When Jacob went down there for his wife, it was said to Jacob, you'll have to fulfill her week. 7 years he labored for Rachel and got Leah as to the flesh. Jesus got the flesh, which was the Jews. Then he says you'll have to fulfill Rachel's week, another 7 years, a day for a year. And that means Christ getting the bride. The next episode in that seven has to do with a perfection or a completion in Christ. Like 7 church ages. So then you find a day for a year and you find out what Daniel, the angel, was saying to Daniel. The last week. And I thought that it was so striking to think that what has taken place in the last day or two that I spoke of. And today when somebody come by and give me the trumpets off the top of the bus as the skylight goes in. Great, phenomenal things are taking place that I could talk to you about all night as a present day truth, as a revelation of Jesus Christ is taking place right now, day after day, hour after. I thought it was just phenomenal that tonight we have Jacob with us. And Jacob is here from over in Nigeria. I haven't seen him since I was over in Nigeria. But I saw him tonight. I happened to look over there and see him here tonight. That's phenomenal. Coming down to the last thing, it's the rapture of the church. And has it taken place? As with the people, upon one man, sin, and that upon all people. Upon one man, righteousness, and that upon all people. Upon one person, the rapture, the translation, a group of people. And then it's made available to everybody. That which is secret is God's, that which is revealed belongs to men. So then I thought that strange. But that's where it's at. So that 7 years separated from the 483 and the angel said, Daniel, this is determined upon thy people. Thy people, which is the Jews. So it stopped at Calvary. The Gentiles came in and it didn't count that 70 weeks anymore. Until the days of the Gentiles are over and then that last 7 years come back into view for the tribulation period and Antichrist. How close then are we to that? Remember what I said about Abraham over in Nigeria? Jacob over in Nigeria. Remember when I spoke about those things? What the black people there had to do with us concerning the Jews? All right, let's just drop a thought in. We're going, where are we at as to the time of life? Well, we brought out many things to you, missed the calendar dates. But I read recently where they're having a congregating of the legislation. And in this, they're going to change the Constitution of the United States. The great, beloved Constitution that, other than the fact of addendums and misuse of it, has been the most glorious government in all the world. The law is good. The law is spiritual. We're carnal, sold under sin. The righteousness of the law is fulfilled in us. As you know, we teach that. Have it on tape as we explain it. But, like I heard the Lord say, there is no law, not even a natural law. And, of course, government is law. It's just a graduated steps up to the upper echelon and whatever. That's to dignitaries. That's to presidency, whatever. There is no law of any value to humanity unless it is seasoned with the element of grace. Even the law of Moses could be of no value to human beings that were spiritual and great and mighty. It only brought death to Israel. Until it was seasoned with the element of grace, when Jesus died to shed his blood for the innocent, or them that might stumble and stagger when they were trying to do right. And that, of course, is who we are. Having no conscience of sin. We're not even conscious of that world of darkness and of sin. See, because we've been translated into the marvelous kingdom of light. We're in light. We're not in intellectual reasoning as a mind, which is a spirit, which is alive. Let me explain this. I say Satan has been destroyed, and we get a lot of ripples in the water over that. But I'm saying he's been destroyed for the children of light, because darkness hath no fellowship with light. He was put out of the world of light. He cannot get near them because he is the shadow of death and darkness. But being an angelic being, remember, the Bible said, marvel not that the ministers of Lucifer has transformed themselves into ministers of light, or that is to say, light is the word of God, the understanding of God. And those ministers being transformed by their minds, while the blood is to the grace coming through that, being on the seat of atonement, they can get into the presence of the Spirit to rain on the just and the unjust, on the tare and the wheat. And they can get in there and start talking about the Word, and their minds will transform as the mercies of God are shown to them. And the anointing will be on them as it was on Adam and Eve in the garden. The illumination will be there. As quick as it's gone, lifted, the sow that's been washed will go back to the wallowing in the mire, and the dog back to the vomit. And as I've said so many times, we said there were Christians, just blessed children of God, that went back out in the world. But that ain't what the Bible says. The Bible said if they'd been of us, they no doubt would have continued with us. But they went out from us that it might be made manifest they were not of us. It was the old sow. Just coming in, God's mercy to give them a chance. But anyway, remember, because of this, Lucifer also, the Bible said, can transform himself into an angel of light. An angel is a spirit. He can transform himself into a spirit of light. Not that he is. Like the Bible said, and they changed the word of God into a lie. Not that they've changed God's word into a lie, but yet the Bible said they changed it into a lie. That is to bring lying signs and wonders, vanity in a charismatic way of life where they won't live a holy and a godly and an overcoming life. Even to the extent the Bible said those unclean spirits going out of the Antichrist and so forth. The image going into all the world working miracles together to that great day, the battle of Armageddon, where the blood will flow to the horse's bridle. Working miracles. Lying signs and wonders. I'm not going to try to elaborate on that. Too much to be said about it. But anyway, Satan has changed himself into an angel of light. He can actually appear to you as an angel of light, which means he can come in and get into your inspiration of this natural life. And he controls you through that by creating a lust and a desire for the thrill of passions. And all of those things is the ball games. Can you imagine saints running after a ball game and calling themselves a saint? No. Somebody said, well, you don't believe they're brothers and sisters. Oh, yes, I do. The Bible said false brothers and sisters. The love of the world's in them. The love of the Father's not there. They're going after what? they love. But anyway, he can do that. See, that's how that you have problems with him. He's dead to you. He's gone. He's not in your world. But if you drift back to the shades of night, if you get to that that's off limits and you won't listen and you let that old flesh flounder around, well, then that body's no good thing. The skin worms are working in it. The corruption sets in. See, you go to set up with the dead. All that is to say, you start acting religious and not having deep conviction as to serve God in holiness, and that the Bible said that we're to serve Him in holiness and righteousness all the days of our life. Somebody said, well, the way you talk, we don't have to get into holiness to get saved. The way I talk is that before you ever knew there was a holiness, He saved you. For the Bible said He saved you while you were yet in your sins. You were not even looking for Him. He shed His blood for you before you was ever born into the world. As the prophet said, before I was ever born into the world, God called me and ordained that I should be a prophet. Before I was ever formed in my mother's womb. I told you about Jacob and Esau. But folks, I didn't say repentance and coming to the Lord. I said, it was said through John the Baptist's father that we should serve Him in holiness. The Spirit was speaking. We should serve Him in holiness after that He has saved us, after that He's made us right, offer service to Him by subjecting this body till it's, when He said go on to perfection, it speaks of your body, bringing your body on into the full understanding that's revealed to it through this glory to glory from inside, until you can see it's not your body, but His body, is not you living, but Him. For your perfection unto salvation is a sanctification once and for all is by the inner man, by faith of Jesus Christ. And your sanctification as from one day to another is as your submission and conformity of body to that inner Christ, that He might explicitly present Himself in the fullness as to the full measure through you, that the world may see your light and glorify the Heavenly Father. For you are the light of the world, even the members of that great light that came from Calvary. So the kingdom of God is here. Men are pressing their way into it. They believe it. But Satan is also, because of the blood on the seat of atonement and the grace, able. God has given so much grace. He's able to enter into human bodies like the demons and show Himself as an angel of light, which means He's very religious. And He's so close, He would deceive the very elect if possible, even to His preachers with doctrines of devils and subducing spirits that are subduing hundreds and millions of people. All right, let's say this as the present day thing that I understand the legislation has come together and they are going to change the Constitution. And as far as I know and what I understand, they are going to make a direct drive to do away with income taxes. I know that'll make you happy. Once and for all, be rid of income taxes. Plagued everybody since they started America. Even way back in history when they dressed up like Indians and had that Boston Tea Party. You know that from your teachings in history. But it seems like the incentive and motive is toward one thing. And that is, as to their own benefit as always, and that is to establish sales taxes. And I perceive, as to what I can find out from the Lord, that their problem is income tax evasion. And with all of IRS doing, they realize that they're losing millions of dollars because there's some people that's outsmarting them. And because of this, they can't keep pace with it. And they've got to come up with something to stop that. Now, income tax, they can never stop it. It'll never be stopped. But with sale taxes, it's stopped overnight. Because with sale taxes, you've got to buy. You've got to sell. You've got to eat. You've got to drink. And they've got you. So they collect the more money. And they stop their problem. And they don't have to work and hunt you down, put you in jail. They just collect from you as you come to buy. But this is another thing that I perceive in that. And that is, it is the end of the world, like I told you. For it will only take that one thing in what the Lord has revealed to me to bring about the establishing of the Social Security number that I told you about years ago, that eventually everything would go under, which it has went that way since we said it. And it will bring about the end of the world, because with this, they can control you and stop the salvation. And when they get control of you to stop the salvation, they're going to realize the mastery and control of humanity throughout the world by a serial number. And subject that to the great thing of Brussels as to the number 666, which they have found will control all numerical order throughout the earth, and they say the only one. Now, that means that when they bring it to where you can't buy or sell, unless you've got the number, the Antichrist will be here. That'll be your tribulation. See, so you're that close to can't buy or sell without the number. Some will try to evade as to income tax evasion still, but they'll be on the starvation list. They can't buy, they can't sell. They've got to come to the IRS and the government then to receive their number as to the efficiency of life, as to the substance or sustaining life, and that will automatically do it. When they discover that, and they'll discover it when they start pressing from this issue, once it comes under that, after that, one man can control the entire world. And that's Satan's baby. That will be his opportunity. As quick as it comes to that, that's what he's been working it to through all this numerical order of tags, scales, dog tags, everything. See, and when he gets it there, he'll personify himself in a headship as in a man. And he'll confiscate and he'll control the entire world. We've got numbers of tape where we speak of this proportionally as to the way it would work. And that's how close it is, folks. So it's little wonder that Jacob should come all the way from Africa right at this particular time, saying the church is raptured, and that is revealed to you, of him that can believe and call that is not, as though it is, then it will be in his life. As a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. Decree a thing in your heart, it comes to pass. As to the indoctrination, the understanding, now you know, now you believe. Some cannot understand this good that has come. Some cannot see. The eyes of the understanding being darkened, some will not comprehend. Some will not be in heaven. I'll go back to the same old problem, because their mind is the world of Lucifer, as from the tree of knowledge of death. As to John Lee and the axe to the root of the tree at Calvary, they're all cut down. They're all under the curse. All that have fallen from grace are under the curse of the law. Cursed is everyone that continueth not in the law to do all that is written therein. Saw a brother the other day. He thought sure he had this thing down, talking about the law. And just come off of a 40-day fast. Still stranded in a net, swallowing a camel. Thinks himself to be a great prophet. He hasn't even gotten out of his diapers. And I don't mean that wrong. Somebody said, but 40 days without food. I know. The man over in India went, I believe it was 90 days without food and never even got on a diaper. Has to be in religious. Now, so still worshiping the pagan gods of Muhammad and whatever, just like they worship Buddhists. But anyway, I just said that to say this, children of God, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, because all it is an invisible spiritual mind. That is an invisible spiritual world. And you are made to inhabit that, or your spirit to be translated into that mind, which is the spirit of Christ, which is life. To be spiritually minded, Christ-minded is life. To be intellectually minded is to Satan's mind, is to the love of the world, the desiring fame, popularity, the things of the flesh, money, whatever it might be. Riches, convenience. The day that thou eatest of that tree, listen to that voice, that's the day you die. For to be carnally minded is death. And Satan's mind is carnal because he savors the things of carnality. So the only way that you can enjoy carnal things is run through the filter of God and get Lucifer out of those carnal things. And Paul said, then I'll enjoy your carnal things even if I dealt spiritual things unto you. For others take these benefits, am I not the more to receive these? So I'm going to close right there. You see where we're at? It's late. It's real late. Real late. All they got to do is do that, and Satan will have brought this thing to what we refer to as the ultimatum. All right, let's stand together. Let's sing a little chorus. Appreciate having Jacob here with us. Trust he's going to be around long enough to hear from Nigeria. My brother from Kenya just left yesterday. While he was here, he was able to give him a nice little gift of paying his way up from Houston, Texas, to little Bethlehem and back, and then giving him $100 cash. And then before he left, you gave him a $1,000 offering. And he was very happy. He wrote a letter. Sister Betty has the letters. Very outstanding as to his expression, to let you know he so appreciated what you gave. He said, as to a diligence, he felt like you joyfully contributed unto it. And he gave a hearty welcome into Kenya. I think he's got about 50 churches over there. And he works for the government there. He's got a good job. But anyway, I just thought I'd pass that on to you. And now we have Jacob with us. We had one of the doctors out of India that had been here before. He was wanting to come down, but some little something arose, and he won't be coming down right now. I might explain to you later. But he really wanted to come. He'd written us a number of times to come back. You love the Lord? Can we give the Lord one more hand? Clap your hands, all you people. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Now, I didn't get to preach to you tonight. I just exhorted you a little bit. That the more I see the day approaching. And tried to share with you just a little bit. 46, I'd rather be an old-time Christian. You were saying that with us. In this world I've tried most everything, and I'm happy now to say there's nothing like religion in that good old-fashioned way. I'm walking in the old-time highway. Want the world to know, rather be an old-time Christian than anything that I know. I'd rather be an old-time Christian than anything that I know. There's nothing like an old-time Christian where that Christian loves to show. I'm walking in the grand old highways, telling everywhere I go, rather be an old-time Christian than anything that I know. There are many things I'd like to be as my journey I pursue. I've longed to be a leader like a mortal man would do. I would like to be a millionaire with a million to bestow. But I'd rather be an old-time Christian than, hadn't you rather be an old-time Christian? I'd rather be an old-time Christian than anything that I know. There's nothing like an old-time Christian with the Christian love to show. Walking in the grand old highways, telling everywhere I go, rather be an old-time Christian than anything that I know. All the world is bright since I got right. Now I sing, pray and shout. All my burdens have been lifted since the Savior brought me out. I will tell the world both far and near as I travel here below. I'd rather be an old-time Christian than anything that I know. I'd rather
to be an old man than anything that I know. There's nothing like an old-time Christian with the Christian love to show. I'm walking in the grand old highway, and I'm telling everywhere I go, I'd rather be an old-time Christian. Can you sing that one more time with me? You really rather be one. Sing with me now. I'd rather be an old-time Christian. Anything that I know, there's nothing like an old-time Christian with that Christian love to show. Walking in the grand old highway, telling everywhere that I go, rather be an old-time Christian. One more time, thing that I know. I'd rather be an old-time Christian than anything that I... The altars are open if you'd like to come to the altar. It might not be a bad idea if all of us came to the altar tonight to let us pray with you. Since the end of the world is so close by, folks, well, I'll sing this. I know you'd rather be an old-time priest tonight. Charity. One more time, man. I'd rather be an old-time priest in me. Thing that I know, it's nothing like an old-time Christian with that Christian love to show. Walking in the grand old highways, telling everywhere I go, rather be an old-time Christian. You know, they brought me a real good testimony concerning the girls, and they said that they were out to the nursing home, and of course the girls singing and praising the Lord and living a good, clean, overcoming life, sometimes breaking down into tears. They said that while they were out there, they sang a song, and said a lady said, "That is so pretty." And so the lady said, "Y'all are so pretty, those long dresses so pretty in your long dresses." And said, the nurse's eyes opened wide. And she said, the lady hasn't spoken in 2 years. Let's give the Lord a hand. So then, the power of God was present to heal, the Bible said. And just by faith in God, our ladies went out, and the virtues of God went out from them. And that woman must have received her healing. Somebody say hallelujah. The Bible said wherever Jesus went, virtue went out from his body and healed the people. All right. One more time, and we're going to close. I'd rather be an old-time Christian. Anything that I know, it's nothing like an old-time Christian with that Christian love to show. I'm walking in the grand old highway, telling everywhere I go, I'd rather be an old-time Christian than anything that I know. All right. Tomorrow they need 20 good painters, my wife says. This is a very important thing that they have, these 20 good painters. So we know then if any painters go out there, that'll be good ones. If you don't go, I don't know about that part of it. It said there was going to be using 20 good painters. So you think that over after service, and if there's anything that you can do, it's a really important time. So I'm told, because they say that at this time there's going to be a vacancy in some of those little buildings, and after that they're going to be filled up. It's going to make it real bad. And we have an urgency as to a deadline as to what we're trying to meet, and you've done excellent. You've excelled in a great way. And just think it over, and whatever you can do, whatever you feel to do, when you do it, the Lord will make a way. Can we lift our hands up to the Lord? All right, we're going to sing our little chorus. We usually sing along about the closing of the service, and that is, I will praise Him.
Can we sing first before we close this little chorus? Time shall be no more. And Jesus said, or that is Peter said, Jesus said, it is finished. Peter said, you are the people upon whom is the ends of the world, upon whom is the world come. And he said, it is finished. And sure enough, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, redeemed them that were under the law. And that brought the end of the world. It was the fullness of time. Time was then finished. But you didn't know it because you've not yet been born. Now your generation has come. And now you're looking at Calvary. You come to Calvary, that finished time. And you pass from death unto life. Now, by faith, in that all this was finished in Christ, given to us in Christ before the world ever was. And it's just a state of mind as to faith by that mind of God, that life of God made manifest in your mortal genes. So then we're going to sing together. The angel standing upon the land and the sea, lifting his hands toward heaven, sworn by him that liveth forever and ever, the time should be no more. He that created heaven and earth. So we sing together. And time shall be no more, no more. And time shall be. For the angel is standing on the sea and the land, and time shall be no more. Sing it with me now once again. For time shall be no more, no more, and shall be no more. For the angel he'll stand on the sea and the land, and time shall be. Let's sing it once again together now. For time shall be no more, no more, than time shall be no more. For the angel he'll stand on the sea and the land, and time shall be. And I will praise him, my will praise him, praise the Lamb for sinners slain, and him glory all ye people. For his blood has washed away every stain. Sing again with me now. And I remember your sons and daughters of God. Now, beloved, are you the sons of God? You already passed from death into life. You're dwelling in heaven to rejoice forevermore. All things are yours, for he's given you all things that pertain unto life through Christ. So enjoy the wonderful heavenly blessings of God eternally. Enjoy them from now on. Move the shadows of doubt out of your mind. Don't doubt. Move them all out now and start enjoying your life. And don't let Satan bring anything back to you to make you think any otherwise except those wonderful things of God. All things are yours, freely given to you. For the blood has washed away every stain. Once again now. And I going to ask Brother Jacob if he'll come up and dismiss the service for us. I want you to treat this brother right. I want you to look after Jacob while he's here, because when I was over in Nigeria, he went out of his way to look after me and my wife and our group. And he didn't charge anything. He didn't ask for anything. And while we were over there, he took us out in the night, in the dark night, through Africa, and us being a stranger, when we wanted something and found stores. Rarely you find stores open at that time, but he found stores open, just fixing the clothes, and took us in and got us something so that I could be comfortable. Don't you forget him, whatever you do. Sing again now. And I